Good morning, a Friday morning. We're with our political observer, Alan Chartok. Alan, Mazel Tov, 49 years of marriage to the lovely Roselle.
That's right. This is the 49th anniversary. Looking forward to having a nice celebratory dinner. And 49 years, I don't know, it went awfully quickly. Of course, we have to congratulate Roselle more than me. I'm just sort of along for the ride. She does it all. She's the one who makes the whole life extraordinary.
Congratulations again, and to the product. Two wonderful children.
They're two wonderful children and their children. And, you know, as Pete sang, we do it all again.
Well, the issue of this hurricane, now a Category 1 as it hits the coast of North Carolina now, and the triggering of tornadoes, the storm surge, despite being a Category 1, these two things are very, very dangerous for people, and those are affecting Americans right now.
Well, that's right. In the end, we're all Americans. We're all in this together. There is destruction in the Bahamas, and I certainly hope everybody will do a little something to help there because it's just devastating. People are going to need help, and that's what we all try to do.
Let's turn to the politics of the day, and that's the campaign phase in the 2020 race for President, Alan. It's moving to New Hampshire. New Hampshire is not accustomed to playing the role of the undercard, but so far, says the AP, in the 2020 campaign, the first in the nation primary state has been more of a destination for lower-tier Democratic presidential candidates than for the three of its top contenders. That changes tomorrow when the field descends on Manchester for the state Democratic Party's convention. As the campaign enters into this more intense phase, with several also candidates needing moments that would elevate them, here we go.
I think that's right, David. I think the whole idea here is that those people who had not made it really to the top tier see this as a breakout place. If they can only turn it around, if they could only come in first here, if they could only excite people so that their name comes to the top. In the meantime, we're hearing that Andrew Cuomo wants to move the primary in New York way up to the top of the list. I've often wondered about that. You know, the problem is that a place like New Hampshire and others, they would do their primary the day after the last election if they had to in order to maintain their primacy. But it seems silly after a while. And here's New York, which is a major state, and Cuomo wants to get it in the game. Makes a lot of sense to me.
Speaking of elections and Russia, voters in Moscow head to the polls in local elections on Sunday, but when they examine their ballot papers, they won't find a single candidate running on the ticket of President Vladimir Putin's United Russia Party. Instead, more observant voters will discover United Russia members posing as independent candidates, in quotes, in an apparent bid to distance themselves from Putin's increasingly unpopular party. We've seen a lot of protesting going on there.
Well, let me put it this way. Putin sees himself as president for life. We know that. Not only does he fool with his own elections this way, and who knows what's really going on there, but he fools with our elections, too. And he's gotten away with it. Why has he gotten away with it? Well, who did he help? He helped Donald Trump get elected. We know that. So this is what happens when dictators begin to run things. They run things their own way. We say that people are trying to distance themselves from Putin. I have a feeling Putin is pulling all the levers, and he's the one who is creating this idea that these are separate and independent candidates.
President Donald Trump is finalizing his proposals designed to curb gun violence. This from Politico. Most Democrats consider them too weak. Most Republicans, long resistant to triggering their base or the gun lobby, fear Trump won't push them forcefully enough, leaving them hanging. Trump's proposals will likely include expediting the death penalty for mass shooters, releasing troubled teenagers' previously sealed records to the background check database after they become adults, and requiring the FBI to notify local authorities when a potential buyer fails a background check. Missing from the list, universal background checks for gun purchases.
Well, of course, that's what he said he wanted, at least he implied it. I think we expected. Obviously, AK-47s and other things should not be allowed. People shouldn't be buying these guns. They shouldn't be allowed to buy these guns. There's no reason to buy these guns. What is the purpose of having a gun like that? To shoot an intruder? By the way, David, the people who have been doing all of these mass killings have generally been white and young, and not the kind of other that Trump has been portraying all as the person who would come in and invade your house. So it is a bunch of hooey. Americans are in love with their guns, but we've got to get over that, or this is just going to continue and continue and continue.
Let's go to Massachusetts for a moment, Alan. Representative Joe Kennedy III wants Elizabeth Warren to be president. He's stumping for her. She's backing his would-be opponent in the Massachusetts Senate race, but that's done little to dissuade Kennedy from crossing state lines to campaign in New Hampshire for Warren. We talked before about Joe Kennedy taking on Ed Markey in Massachusetts, and it looks even more likely now.
Yeah, we keep hearing an awful lot about it. The real question is, what is Massachusetts voters' loyalty to the Kennedys? It's pretty heavy. You go into some homes and you see Jack Kennedy's picture right up there next to Jesus and the major icons. This is royalty of the first order. And so it's going to be a close race. If Kennedy does it, it's going to be because he thinks he can win. Now, as far as Warren is concerned, sure, Warren is backing Markey. The establishment is backing Markey. But if Markey loses a primary, then all hands will be on board for Kennedy. That's for sure. And he knows that. So from a political perspective, nobody likes it when you get primaried. But that's the system.
Our political observer, Alan Shartok, with us. Happy anniversary, Alan. 49 years. Love to the lovely Roselle.
Thank you. And you know, this is an exciting day for me, too, in another way. And that is that after all of these years, I'm moving to the Berkshire Edge for my column on Saturdays. So that's where you'll be able to find it. And I'm really looking forward to that relationship. You know, the editor of The Edge, David Scribner, was the editor of The Eagle, and he was the one who hired me on, and he's the one who's bringing me over. This is really great.
Read more at theberkshireedge.com.